Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Financial Sanity Now Hour with Alan Lissauer, one of your hosts, and your hostess, Helena Lay. And at this time, I'd like to just discuss with you some of the things that are going on in today's marketplace.
Hello, all. Alan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Hello, everyone. This is Helena Lay Lissauer. Actually, I am Alan's daughter. A lot of people didn't know that, but pretty much we help a lot of people, and we have our business called Advanced Economic Strategies. We also have a website, www.financialsanitynow. And I'm going to ask my father a few questions. Dad, did you see the article on CNN titled "Home Prices Signal Recovery May Be Here"?
Yes, I did. I did.
What do you think about
that? Well, I think that perhaps home prices have gone up, but if you looked at what the signal was, overall, we're looking at about 2%. So if there was a 2% increase compared to the about 55% increase, we've got a long way to go. I don't know that we've hit the bottom. I really hope we have. I don't know. Right now, it's my feeling and understanding that the banks are withholding back from the market many, 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 many thousands of homes, and they're just not willing to put them on the market that have been foreclosed because it would decrease the prices again. So I am not sure, and I always say that, you know me, if I'm not sure of something, I'll tell you. I'm not sure that it does signal very much, 2% overall. I mean, in Los Angeles County, it was 1.4%. In places like Phoenix, it was higher, although they saw such a severe decline that they'd have to come back 60%. So, you know, there could be pockets that are coming back a bit. I just think it's too early to tell. And we're just going to have to see. But if you want to know, I'm not optimistic right now, no. I think we have to get past this election, and we have to get past any uncertainty with the finances and the European recession and a number of other issues that are floating around that I think are keeping job creation down.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. A part of the article says, as home values increase, home equity rises, and fewer mortgage borrowers will be underwater, owing more than their homes are worth. That will give them an asset to tap into should they run into a tight financial path.
Well, that's interesting to say. I don't think 2% increase is giving anyone anything to, when you're down 50%, it goes up 2%. I think that's a long way to go. If it goes up 2% every year, maybe you'll be on Social Security by that time, and you're a young person. I don't know that that's an accurate statement. I say it's not accurate. Plus, how are you going to tap any equity in a house when the banks aren't lending? There's no equity line. Even if you have equity, how do you get a loan against it? It's very, very difficult. So if you have a first mortgage, perhaps you can refinance, or perhaps you can modify. As far as getting money out of a house, pretty tough these days.
Right.
So I don't know how you tap a home as an asset. It used to be the case you could tap a home as an asset. But, I mean, I know it would feel good for homeowners to have a little more equity in their house. Agreed. You know, this could be a blip. Or it could be, as the song says, the start of something big. But I think we need data over the next 6 months to know if that's true.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%, especially since California hasn't seemed to have experienced a significant increase that they were actually talking about. Here's another issue. Another CNN article was titled, "The Middle Class Falls Further Behind," and it quotes, the biggest issue facing the middle class is that their wealth is deteriorating, said economist Richard Fry, who co-authored the report. The housing crisis eroded much of the middle class's net worth, creating a lost decade in terms of economic well-being for this group. We posted on our website, we as the people of America need to stand up and work together to turn our economy around.
Yeah. Well, listen, the total economy is dependent on a lot of things. One facet of it is housing. I mean, if jobs become more plentiful, if unemployment goes down, that should help housing. But housing itself will be helped if we straighten out the equity position of the homeowner so that they can have a breath and they can rebuild their equity. So, you know, there's a program that was part of what's called DOJ, Department of Justice Settlement, that some banks are participating in and some aren't. And there's a great article in today's Los Angeles Times about over $10 billion being used towards that end in California. What this does is it allows a more even playing field. Now, what it doesn't do is treat people equally. And this is an issue that surrounds all modifications and surrounds all principal reductions. So to give you some idea, if someone's somewhat behind, I don't even know the exact number, behind, and they're at least 20% underwater, and their income warrants it, in other words, if they're paying more than 31% of their income towards principal, interest, tax, and insurance, then they may qualify for a DOJ. Now, that's assuming, so let's say they have a house that's $400,000 they owe, and they bought it for that, and now it's worth $300,000. Well, what about their neighbor across the street? Their house is only worth $300,000, but they're making more money. They're not seriously having a problem. And then what happens to them? They don't get a principal reduction. So, you know, it may sound like I'm counter-arguing here and I'm saying something that, you know, is against principal reduction. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is if there was a fair and equitable system to offer this, then I think it would straighten the housing market out at a faster rate. I don't know if that makes sense to any viewers out there. If it does, why don't you call the station and let us know what you think, because it is a problem that's facing homeowners.
I absolutely think that makes sense, and yeah, absolutely. If anybody has any questions, they can call the station or they can call us directly at 866-753-4028, or you can check us out on our website, www.financialsanitynow. And if you want to tell any of your friends to tune in, bbsradio.financialsanitynow.com. And there's also a book that my father wrote. Do you want to tell them about the book?
Yes, it's the Homeowner's Guide to more to Modifications, and it's a guide to setting up your finances in such a way that, you know, you can make sense of it. You can go to the experts. You can start to get a grip and a hold around your life. You're making a budget, seeing how much is going towards mortgage, seeing how much is wasted, seeing what your credit card debts are. It's very important to face it and not hide and say, oh, things are going to get better next week, next month, next year. They might, but we really need to take stock of where we are right now. And this is what the book's about. And then it gives you further ideas. And then those ideas are how you can work with either an expert or even by yourself to talk to the bank, what to say and what not to say. And these are very important how-to questions in the book. So I believe it's only $19.99 for the whole book, including the workbook. So
That's incredible. And we've actually had some people buy the book in various states. The first was Alaska, and then we moved on to Nebraska, some in New York, some in Washington. We've helped people in Georgia. So regardless of what state in the United States, I understand
you can always buy the book.
This online show is airing to over 300 different countries throughout the world. So we're not aware of the banking system outside of the United States, but you can purchase the book. It is a self-help, self-guide. You go to www.financial sanity now homeowners relief kit, and you should be able to locate it easily. And if you have any problems, you can email us at alan@aes77.com, and we'll make sure to get back to you. So another article that I thought was very interesting was the banks give $10.6 billion in relief under the mortgage settlement.
Right.
Then that was just released today. So what do you know about this?
Well, I know that this is good. I would say that right away it's a good thing. This is part of the settlement. It's only a small part. I know $10 billion sounds like a lot of money, but understand that the net worth of homeowners that lost was over $8 trillion. So that's a huge amount of money. By the way, $8 billion is $1,000 million, and $1,000 billion is $1 trillion. A lot of zeros. But this called the Office of Mortgage Settlement Oversight, which is monitoring this, has said that these are the banks that were participating. If you have one of these banks, take notes: Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Ally Financial, also known as GMAC. Also, WaMu Loans came under Chase, and there could be other loans that, you know, of other names, like Countrywide, which is really
Bank of America,
things like that. So, you know, what this came out to was 138,000 homeowners were offered relief, averaging $76,000 per borrower. Very nice. 138,000 homeowners. Does anyone remember the amount of people that have been foreclosed on this year?
Oh, I don't offhand. Do you want to inform our listeners?
Over a million. So we've reached a few people. 1 in 10 got relief here, and 10 times that amount got foreclosed on. Something's still wrong.
Yeah, I don't know if some of you listeners out there are a first-time listener. I just want to let you know that what we do at our company is we help stop foreclosure sale dates. We help lower people's interest rates. We help to financially consult people to really help their own lives by following specific instructions, and also just guidance tips mainly. We also do, you know, help a lot with credit counseling, debt consolidation, settlements, negotiating possible liens. We just help you out financially. There's no way you're going to get ahead with an excessive amount of debt. The one thing we cannot do is we cannot help you with your student loans. That's going to be up to the government. You can't even bankrupt a student loan. So for those of you dealing with student loans out there, I would say if you have somebody you could borrow off of their property or get a second lien on a property versus pulling $100,000 in a student loan, then that can be negotiated. The second liens can be negotiated anywhere from 10 to 20% to settle it out, or lower the interest rate to as low as 1% versus a student loan where you will not be able to bankrupt it, you will not be able to settle it out. And that's another thing that a lot of Americans are dealing with, the excessive amount of student loans right now. And in California, and specifically, which is where we're located, there has been a significant budget cut on the community colleges and colleges in general. So for those of you who are listening, especially those in California, please write a member, write a letter to your council member and our senators and anybody that you think might make a significant difference in your district. We really need to band together and start to fight against these situations, because education is so important. And if somebody, a stranger, if anyone were to ask me what is it, what is the one thing that I would want to share with the world, I would not say water, I would not say food, I would not say shelter, I would say education. Because with the right education, you can learn how to find a well, dig a well. With education, you can learn how to grow your own food, plant your own food, hunt your own food. With education, it's the key to everything. And we really, really can't be cutting education. Some of the clients that we've helped just in the Los Angeles area alone are firefighters, police officers, school teachers, people who work at grocery stores, managers, real estate brokers, people who, you know, just do anything, self-employed people. We help everyone. There's no discrimination of the people that we can help. And if you think that, you know, you need the assistance, or if you're falling behind on your mortgage payment, or you're digging into your savings because you're just not making as much over here, we have something called furloughs that teachers are going through, and they're experiencing over 30% reduction in income. And then there's brownouts that the firefighters are dealing with. They've experienced a 40% reduction in income. And we've helped lower their mortgage interest rates, which saves them anywhere from hundreds to thousands of dollars per month. And if you do the math, let's say you save $1,000 per month times 12 months per year, that's $12,000 per year times the average amount of a loan, which is 30 years, and you're saving over $300,000 in interest alone just by lowering your payment. So if you feel the need, please contact us, 866-753-4028, or you can call us, or you can email us at alan@aes77.com, or visit our website, www.financialsanitynow.com. That's where the self-help homeowner's relief kit book is. He also, my father, Alan Lissauer, also has a YouTube out right now. And what was the show that you were on last week?
That was Best Deals of Los Angeles. And actually, you can see a clip on the website.
Or on YouTube, if you
right.
type in Best Deals of Los Angeles,
right.
Financial Sanity Now.
That's right. And it's quite a nice...
There's testimonials on there. There's people that are, you know, just basically saying thank you for all the work that we have done over here at Advanced Economic Strategies. Our website is called Financial Sanity Now because it just seemed more relatable to the people. And
I have a little off topic. I think everyone knows. The Republican convention is going on right now, and all the politicians are ready to blow their own tubes as if they have something good to say and something smart to say, and they have these grandiose plans that are going on. But let me ask you, the public, and I'll ask as a question rhetorically, is why aren't any of the candidates talking about housing? We are still in a place where we've lost 50 to 60% of value. We still have a third of the people underwater. We still have in the United States of America a million foreclosures a year. Yes, they've slowed down, mainly because of legal matters, mainly because of the intrusion of some of these class action settlements. Mainly because the banks don't want to foreclose and own any more homes at this moment. But these people still are sitting there teetering on the edge of disaster. Even if it's one person that's being treated unfairly, we should take that all to heart. But it's not one person.
And I think it's really unfortunate that we're concentrating our energy on you know, trivial issues that are so minuscule, such as abortion, in comparison to the people that are living. I saw a quote today on Facebook when I was browsing the web, and it said something along the lines of, no, you are not pro-life. You are, let's see here, I actually saved it because I thought it was such an interesting quote that I want to read it to you right now. Let's stop using words that don't make sense. You're not pro-life. You're pro-unborn. You don't give a shit about anyone after they're born. And that's basically what's going on. A lot of people are focusing their energy on, you know, the rights of the unborn, but what about the rights of the people that are already born, that are in these sticky situations, firemen that are risking their lives, police officers that are risking their lives every single day that they work, and yet they're experiencing these large financial cutbacks because of our state budgets. Therefore, they're making less, and they already have a mortgage. They already have X amount of children. They have to support, let's say, if they chose to pay for a private school, hey, they're risking their lives. They were getting paid X amount before, 40% more than what they're making now. And if they chose to send their children to private school, why is it that every single one of their expenses, including their home mortgage, is taking such a large dump, you know, part of my French?
Yeah, well, that was French. The thing about this is that, yes, we're talking about fringe issues. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that my opinion is that if the Republicans want to talk about less government and more individual rights, which is what they seem to keep saying, you know, America's made on individualism, great, I believe in that. But who are the real individuals? Why would a government then intrude on a woman's right to choose? If you want small government, then don't intrude on a woman's right. If you want small government, then why are we giving money to the banks? Why do we support bigger business with tax credits and oil credits and not support homeowners, the individuals? Why aren't we helping the individuals? Why do we have programs for defense contractors, oil companies, and large farm conglomerates, but not for the individual?
Right.
So, you talk about the issues. You know, candidates should get down and talk about what the issues really are for people. Leave out the fact of, you know, the hyperbole about big government, little government. You know, and no one wants big government until they want a road paved in front of their house. Then they want it. No one wants big government until they want their children to go to a university. California used to have the finest university system in the world, and it was free. You could go to UCLA at no cost. All you needed was to be a smart person and willing to work hard. And that was the backbone of California. That's why people were educated here. They were smart. They created a state in which there were creative things happening in entertainment and in visual arts and technology and building and construction and solar. This comes from an educated populace, so are we going to put our money towards helping homeowners, towards education, towards job creation, or let's worry about what our neighbor's doing down the street that we don't happen to like? Is that what being American's really about? I don't think so. And I think the real individual is the one who says that person has their belief system and they're doing what they want with their body. That's their choice.
I agree with you 1,000%. Dad, you brought me up very well, pro-choice, pro-life, and that makes sense. You can't be pro-life and pro-choice.
No one's telling people to run out and have abortions. I don't think you should. Use your contraceptive. But I hear people who are against contraception. Really? Is this just talk? Are people just talking like to talk?
They are. They are. And actually, speaking of which, we have a poem that was recorded at an open mic just this last Tuesday. And her name is Gia Scott-Heron, and she's the daughter of the famous poet Gilbert Scott-Heron. And she did a poem for us, and she just wanted us to, you know, be able to share it online. So I'm going to... So here we go. We are going to air Gia's poem right now, live. Here we go.
Our world is full of great skill, and if people are having a hard time, it's not like this is different. From here to dog quarters, they see even better people than with all the suffering. We're already being financially cut off as a need. Since we're not only being displaced by natural disasters like hurricanes and earthquakes, but by man-made mistakes like levees that break, like the oil rigs, no real safeguards in place, and toxic actions made by morally bankrupt banks. Yeah, I'm going to start a movement, and I'm going to do it today. Because I set the calendar, and tomorrow's too late, which we need to change yesterday. And we need to change, y'all. And I know you've heard that before. I'm not a politician. I'm not running for anything. I'm not stupid. And I'm not even talking about Obama, a mere human whom we treated like the second coming of Jesus. We acted like he was going to make crippled men walk, blind men see. And now we're crucifying him like Jesus because we treated him like Atlas. Put all the problems of the world on his back and said, here, fix this. And because we live in a world of instant gratification, where you can make bricks in 5 minutes, or microwave mac and cheese and rice in an instant, we expect him to create jobs out of thin air like an addiction. Deliver us a better economy like an obstetrician. We just don't wear it hurts and have the right prescription. We expected one man to fix the whole world in one term. That's not fair. Because just because the world has got less than 1 week to make it, doesn't mean it takes that long to maintain, especially with the last good discharge degraded it. Now, I need you to feel the sense of urgency, because this here is an emergency. We may be damaging our collective destiny. That's the high cost of doing nothing. The point is to be proactive, but lately we just act like that's just medication for acne. Lately, a lot of us are reacting or acting like nothing's happened. We were playing follow the leader until they shot all our leaders. Now we're just playing ourselves. Now politicians pop a squat in the same place as we dwell. And now we're all like lost sheep looking for a shepherd because we've lost our way. Well, I'm going to start a movement, and I'm going to do it. Because I'm sick of us standing around like we're 2 years old with our fingers up our nose wondering, who's going to cure our woes? Like it's not us for us. What happened to a time of trust? And trust in ourselves we must because no one's going to clean this stuff up but us. So we
better get to it. Who's ready to move? Good. Come on, Richard. I'm already moving. That was Gia Scott Heron, and that was recorded live at Industry Cafe. That's located in Los Angeles on La Cienega and Washington. And that poem was called Movement. And she's very inspiring. She's a very good friend of mine. And I thought it would be more than appropriate to air her poem on.
I thought it was excellent. And I think it's important that people realize that everyone thought, Obama was going to fix the world in 3 years, which is what he's had so far. No one fixes what was two ongoing wars, the worst recession since the Great Depression, the worst housing crises, and let's fix it, especially when you're being blocked continually. Every program you have, including the jobs bill, is still sitting in Congress. Every tax bill is still sitting in Congress. How is it going to happen? And then let's blame him and crucify him. I think the poem was excellent, and I think that, my opinion. I don't want to go into political opinions too much here. Okay, let's talk about something else regarding housing, how we can help people. Remember, you can always look at our website for the latest information. It's www.financialsanitynow.com. You can call us at 866-753-4028. You can email us at alan@aes77.com. You can get the book.
Homeowners Relief Kit, www.financialsanity.com, Homeowners Relief Kit.
Right. You can see the video.
So basically, just going back to the banks give the $10.6 billion, nearly half of the total comes from Bank of America.
Oh, if you let's look at that article a little deeper. Much of that money was used for credits called for short sale debt forgiveness.
So wow.
Let me explain that a little bit. This is pretty incredible. The banks are making money on short sale. Here's how it works. The government says if you accept a short sale, the customer doesn't have to pay the difference. But the government has now come along and covered part of the short sale cost. Taxpayer loses, bank wins. How did the bank give that money out? Supposedly, it's credit. And in California, it's really irrelevant because there's no personal liability. So for those of you in California, if you're making a short sale, you do not have personal liability on your first mortgage. You do not owe the bank anything. If it is sold, that house is sold for less than its value, the bank cannot come after you personally. It's called homestead money. Same as a second mortgage if you've got it at the same time as the first, if the bank did 100% financing. So to say that money was really given to homeowners is somewhat erroneous. Now, in other states, it's not the case. I know in Florida, it's not the case. So maybe it does help homeowners more in that state. But those are short sales. Those are short sales, and what that does is it gets the house back to the bank.
Do you want to explain what a short sale is?
A short sale is kind of simple. It's a house that you sell to a short person. No, I'm kidding. For those out there, that's my idea of a joke. It's when you sell a house. Say you owe $300,000, but the market only bear $200. You sell it for $200. The bank signs off on it. Now, why would the bank possibly do that? Again, they're getting credits from the government. Again, if they foreclose, it's going to cost them more, and they're still only going to sell it for maybe $200,000. So a short sale in this market is great for a bank. Yeah, it's a good thing. So you walk away. Says short sale. Is it good for your credit? Probably not so great. Is it horrible? Probably not so horrible. You know, it's somewhere in the middle. You're not going to get a house right away after a short sale. But in today's market, you won't get one anyway, unless you have perfect credit.
Right.
But a lot of people are doing it because they don't want to pay mortgages on houses that are so far underwater. What is a better solution? Modify, principal reduction, keep the person in the house, give them credits towards a principal reduction so that they can stay in the house, keep the neighborhoods up, keep blight. Who doesn't want a neighborhood that's full of blight? You know what blight is? Blight is when it's a bunch of foreclosed homes and they're boarded up and the lawns are nasty and it makes everything look terrible. And pretty soon gangs are living in it and who knows what else. We don't want that, okay? So principal reduction is one of the keys. If you look at the article carefully, it just hasn't really, it's starting, okay? If you look carefully, Bank of America really hasn't done that much. Chase is number one. It's done better than anyone, and I do give them credit. I personally find that Chase is a better bank to work with.
I agree.
I would give them our blurb of the day. I don't know if we have one or the blurble of the day. Say that they are definitely have tried harder than other banks to help people. You know, and I didn't love Chase before. I felt they were took advantage, but I definitely have changed my opinion. And if you have a Chase loan and you need it modified, please call us. They are more cooperative. Call 1-866-753-4028, and we'd like to work with you on that.
Let's give it up for Chase Bank. We actually helped a good number of people this week.
That's right.
For the simple fact that Chase actually cooperates. They call people back.
Yeah,
I have a great point of contact within Chase Bank, and I've been just, you know, working closely with everybody that, you know, is wanting to help the homeowners. So a lot of the time with our company, we go over the normal customer service line. Most of our clients have tried to help themselves 3, 4, 5, a maximum of 8 times before finally calling us and saying, hey, I can't do this by myself. Do you have an additional connection? Is there anyone that you could speak to? Can you do this for us? And we work with the executive offices of different banks to get certain things through to really help people. And I helped one lady last week, and I helped save her $940 each month. So she is ecstatic, and I am very happy. Wells Fargo is probably the second best. They actually call you back, and depending on if they have a mortgage-backed security loan or if Wells Fargo owns it themselves, depending on the investor, they'll cooperate. So I just wanted to kind of bring light to that.
Oh, very good.
So who do you think is the worst bank?
Well, I'm not as favorable to as Wells Fargo as you are this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a family really in need, and Wells is really refusing to help them. And the case is very serious. They have 2 children that are handicapped.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and they really need the help from Wells Fargo, and they were forced into it.
So it sounds like you've been having a gloomy situation.
Yeah, very rainy, very gloomy, and I'm very sad about that situation. And I just wish Wells Fargo would say, hey.
And who owns that?
It's interesting that it's owned by a group of investors in what's called a pooling arrangement. And they're saying the investors do not allow it, and yet we've looked at the pooling arrangement. We've gotten paperwork on the pooling arrangement, done research. We go that deep for people that we help and found out that it is allowed through the pooling arrangement and the investors. So, there's such a disconnect between the people we speak to and the understanding that we have. So we have tried it very hard to appeal this information by providing it to the bank so they can read it and see that it is allowed. So far, I have to say, I'm going to give boob of the week over here, but not even looking carefully.
So weekly bash on the bank, the worst bank of the week, goes to?
I'm going to have to say Wells Fargo.
And who is it?
I'm going to say Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
That was an earthquake sound for those of you who don't know what that was.
Yeah.
That's what we have to deal with, unfortunately, sometimes.
I mean, you know, Bank of America is always, I give them the slowest, they're the slowest bank that loses more papers per day than any bank I've ever seen. They get all their paperwork, and they send letters. We don't have the paperwork. Then I know there was a wonderful lady you were dealing with who sent in all her paperwork, and they threw her out because they said she didn't send in all her paperwork. Then they put a sale date on her house.
That was Bank of America.
Yeah. Even after all the paperwork was there.
Well, we already know that Bank of America is the worst bank out there, according to our show last week, with the situation with Josie and Frank Cornejo, the head of the fire station, one of the fire stations over here in Los Angeles. He received the final loan modification the Bank of America sent a notary out to his house. This was back in October 2011. And then took his payment November, December, January. Come February, threw his payment back, said your loan mod was somebody forgot to push a button. We have to redo this entire process. The original process took about a year and 8 months. So they wanted them to go through the whole process all over again after they sent the final loan documents and the notarized copy over.
Right.
To the Cornejos. She was begging, begging, begging for sympathy, begging for people to really stand up, pull your money out of Bank of America. The least you can do if you're having a problem with them, you're having a problem with any of these lenders, any of these large banks, please call us, 866-753-4028. It's just, it's really important that we, we know what we're doing and that we stick to our guns and band together.
And the other thing we need to know is that it's personal. You know, we've run out statistics. The housing's improving. It's up 2%. This is personal to people who have their homes. They live in them. They're families. Some of them have been living in there 10 years. You know, prices went up, they refinanced, and who wouldn't under those conditions?
Right.
Most of them went and they improved their homes. They made themselves better kitchens, took out loans, and used some of the money for their children's education, had a better standard of living. I personally don't know anyone who took it and bought jewels and ran out off to Brazilian vacation. If anything, it was for home improvement and educational improvement. And I'd say that's 90% of the people who took out equity lines. So it's personal, people. If you have a personal issue, please call us, because it's not about statistics. Statistics are very easy to go over, you know? Not about statistics. Okay? And not what we want to deal with here. We want to deal with personal stories and people.
There is an article out that's titled "The Debt Wall That Wasn't," and it says a major financial worry coming out of the recession was a looming wall of high-yielding bond maturities, largely related to a glut of leveraged buyout transactions completed in 2005 and 2006. Could all of that debt be repaid on time, and if not, would America experience a wave of corporate bankruptcies that would both decrease credit availability and increase unemployment?
Well, that's a big question. But, corporate America is backed by the banking system, which prints money through the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So they can take care of debt that way. But here's the side note of that. They can take care of the debt by printing more money. Has anyone recently filled up their car? Well, in California, it's $417 for regular. We both have a sister who's making $8 an hour, working her way through college, and she has a car. Unfortunately, she has to drive. She now moved to a place closer to the school, so she would drive less. So now she can work 1 hour to buy 2 gallons of, not even 2 gallons of gas.
No, not even 2 gallons of gas.
Okay, so let's talk about the regular worker who's working at a hotel making $12 an hour. So now, has their income gone up anywhere near the amount to cover this increase in gas costs,
or
do they have
general.
To dip into credit cards, or do they have to go into savings? Or this is what's destroying the middle class. So, yes, you lead me to a good point, and the point is, how do you print more money without creating inflation? And yes, I know the government says there's no inflation, there's no core inflation, but they exclude energy costs and food. How do you exclude energy costs and food from the inflation? That's what we spend money on. Yes, houses are less because they've deflated. Yes, our shirts cost less because they're from China. I get it, but that's not what every day is. Every day is about gas and food. Why isn't that included in the core inflation rate? Who's kidding who? Tell me, anyone out there who's working on an hourly wage. Since gas
or
has gone up
25-30%,
has your wage gone up 25 or 30%? I doubt it.
No,
you're,
beyond
you're
gas, what about
home.
Just to see a movie? You know, just to see a movie over here, you're paying over $12, $13 a movie.
I agree, but I would recommend for those people get Netflix, $8 to stream your movie.
Yeah, I mean, we already know that there's a lot of different tips. Speaking of tips, we wanted to go into our weekly tips of the week. And there is a credit counseling agency that we work closely with, and they recently gave us a tip. Has anyone ever gotten on their telephone and simply dialed the number 211?
No.
Well, when you call 211, it's a special hotline that can help you, and here's what it sounds like.
I apologize. I still was unable to understand what you said. Let's try one more time. Hello, you've reached 211 Los Angeles County. For services in English, please say English or press 4. For quality assurance, your call will be recorded. If this is a life-threatening emergency, please hang up and dial 911. Please listen carefully as our menu options have changed. If you are pregnant or if you have a child who is 0 to 5 years old, please press 2. If you need emergency food or emergency shelter, press 3. To report animal cruelty, a code violation, or for assistance in the unincorporated area of Los Angeles County, press 4. For information on free tax preparation sites, please visit our website at www.211la.org or ask the 211 Community Resource Advisor. For all other services, press 7 to speak to the next available 211 Community Resource Advisor. To repeat this message, press...
Basically, this number was given to me so that people can lower... My father's laughing at me. He thought that was hilarious. That was a winging moment. But basically what I was informed, and maybe I should have done this off-air previously before calling on air. But it was supposed to be a telephone number, and I'm sure if you connect to a live operator, especially if you're in the Los Angeles, California area.
It may be a little late for that.
They
may be home. Can you hear me, right?
If you just stop touching the microphone. Sorry about that, listeners. But, you can get assistance on medical bills. There's different programs they can refer you to. There's different programs they can tell you about, refer food, free shelter. If you have an excessive amount of medical bills, a way to deal with them, way to stretch it out. There's different ways that you can negotiate and lower your expenses to really get through our current crisis in our economy. I don't know if any of you shoppers out there ever shop at the dollar stores or at the 99-cent stores, but they've recently been recycling clothing, and they have some fairly, it's good quality material. They also have a lot of produce and other things. These are just weekly tips and, how to save money and lower your expenses in general. I actually got my father a wonderful shirt from there. He looks surprised. I don't think he knew that I bought him a shirt from the 99-cent store. But it's a free advertisement for what I'm doing for them right now. But I think we all really need to think smart, not overextend ourselves and, get it together, especially if our wages are not going up and the price of basic expenses such as milk and or even water are going up, and gas included, of course. So
that's a very good point. And we'll all keep that in mind.
This is probably one of the funniest shows that we've had. We don't normally laugh on air, but I think we've gone through such
a
tough week.
It has been a tough week.
That we just need it. We need to laugh once in a while.
Well, our time is going to kind of run out, so I would like to point people now towards our dial in to www.financialsanity.now. When you get onto this website, there are some new features that you're going to see. And there's some very interesting before and after that you can look at. And people, real people, not paid actors, who have just had a great experience and
with our company.
How their life has changed.
Advanced Economic Strategies. Yeah, this is with our company.
When you have a couple of children and you have a home and you can't afford the home, it really changes things around.
It would be incredibly wise for people out there to go to our Facebook and like it, because it could really benefit. You know, you could learn a lot. If you have any questions, you could always email us directly on there, Financial Sanity Now. And if you can go to our Facebook and like it, send us a message. We'll be sure to get back to you. Or you could call us, 866-753-4028. And right now I'm actually going to air the YouTube that was on a live news channel.
Okay.
That my father had previously filmed. It's about 3 minutes long, which is exactly the amount of time we have left.
California now has the highest foreclosure rate in the nation, up nearly 20% from the same period last year, with a record number of people either underwater or just unsure of who to turn to find a solution. Best Deals recently found one company that is helping thousands of Californians get back on track and keep their homes. Alan Lasore has helped hundreds of homeowners save their homes, reduce their credit card debt, and their monthly expenses.
No one knew home prices would go down 40, 50, 60%. This is unheard of in all of our lifetimes. And they need to understand the context. Once they understand that, they can realize that it's really not their fault. Yes, they signed a paper. I agree. Everyone bears a level of responsibility, but we also bear a responsibility not to bankrupt our families and to look ahead a little bit.
Many people lose their entire savings trying to keep their home.
If I'm earning so much money, whatever that money is, and I can see that now I'm pulling out of my savings to pay my mortgage every month, be proactive and come and talk to us.
But is there a time when it's too late?
When the house is sold, it's too late. But till then, if we even have, give me 10 days before the sale, we can still do something. I can't promise anything, but get in touch with us. Definitely, if you get a sale date posted on your home, because that's the way it works in California, actually posted on your house, do something.
Alan has many satisfied clients happy to share their own experiences.
The staff at AES has helped us to lower our interest rate from 6.5 to 2%. That was really amazing. We're so happy.
I can't tell you what a relief it's been, and they were easy to work with. When I talked to Alan in September of last year, he says, this is what you're going to get. I'm going to save you over $1,600. He did everything he said he was going to do.
He took care of everything. He was always there whenever I needed him. If I placed a call, he called me back, or he took the call immediately. I had his cell phone number. The people who work for him are really understanding. They're really caring people, but they're really good at their jobs.
We can reduce the rate on people's credit cards. You might be paying 8, 9, 10% down to zero. Another thing we do is we negotiate what's called settlement.
I mean, that's amazing.
We are saving over $1,000 a month, but more importantly for me is just the peace of mind of knowing that we're staying.
Whether your home is underwater and you're struggling to make your monthly payments, or your credit cards have simply gotten out of control, call
Call Alan today at 866-753-4028. You can also log on to our website for more information at bestdealstvshow.com.
So that was our show this week, ladies and gents. Until next week, I hope all of you have a great week, and give us a call if you need us. We're here.